Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of Full Press Coverage. .com, coming to you guys here on a Monday episode, kicking off this first week of May and wrapping up our final thoughts, at least initial first thoughts on the 2022 draft class for the Kansas City Chiefs. Really exciting weekend, a lot of fun just covering the draft. Obviously, one of those years where kind of getting back to normal even more with the draft having you know, a lot more fans in Vegas this year and all the live coverage for the media members that were there in person. So really exciting weekend, and obviously the Kansas City Chiefs able to make a boatload of picks. 10 total picks is what Kansas City wound up making over the weekend. We'll obviously kind of go pick by pick here a little bit throughout this episode, briefly kind of discussing, you know, what I think kind of the top traits are for some of these players, maybe the initial expectations for some of these guys. But I think the initial thought is for the Kansas City Chiefs is this was a draft class that was probably one of the better draft hauls on the weekend. And of course, you know, just because the draft class looks good on paper at the beginning, obviously is not always going to translate to results. But I think you just look at the value that Kansas City found in a lot of spots, kind of the, I think, trends that they went after at certain positions, just, you know, all the trends they got at, I think, defensive back and traits there in terms of just instincts, instincts and ball skills, being able to mix that up with physicality. And of course, the versatility, we'll talk more on that here with a lot of these players as we go one by one a little bit later on. But I think when you look at this draft class, it was a team that did have some holes that I think were more significant than what maybe some other contenders had. And to really just find these value picks where guys I would have expected to go a little bit earlier, especially I think relative to where some of these guys were taking them on their own position, to see some guys go ahead of them was pretty stunning. I mean, talking about wide receiver Sky Moore, there's a few names there early in the second round I would not have thought would have been taken till at least the third round. So I think you got to feel good if you're Kansas City, if you're a Chiefs fan, that, you know, really this was the first time in a while that they had this many picks. And again, just the value, and I think the talent that they were able to get, I think there's a lot to like in terms of immediate impact on this team and just how these pieces just all fit and gel really well together. So we'll kind of go one by one on the players a little bit here in a second, but there was three little quick headlines that I wanted to mention off the bat that kind of stuck out here as I give my immediate kind of wrap up reactions here of this 2022 Chiefs draft class. Seven of the 10 picks the Chiefs made over the weekend were defensive picks. Five of those seven were defensive backs. So really interesting. I mean, I think the old narrative of Brett Veach not really investing highly in the cornerback position, obviously that narrative was put to bed a little bit with the first round pick of cornerback Trent McDuffie at 21 overall. But I think just you look at the rest of the defensive back picks after that in Brian Cook, safety out of Cincinnati at the end of round two, and then the three other defensive backs that they added on day three, Josh Williams out of Fayetteville State, small school guy. That one is definitely right up their alley in terms of what they've typically gone after in the Brett Veach era with him as general manager. Smaller school guy, but has all the athleticism and size that you could want at the position in today's pass happy NFL. And a guy that, for being a small school guy, is pretty, you know, well versed and technically sound, I think, in terms of what you're looking for from just a pass coverage standpoint. So that is a pick that was kind of right up their alley. And then the other two defensive back picks late, Jalen Watson. There's been some differing opinions on what exactly he'll be in the NFL. Will he be a cornerback? Will he be a safety? So we'll have to see exactly how Kansas City handles him, but a guy with a lot of size and speed. And then you look at Nazee Johnson from Marshall, a player not maybe as well known as those other defensive backs, but I think you look at what he was able to do at Marshall this past season, made a lot of plays on the football, a lot of big tackles for that Marshall defense. So a guy that I think is just is a sound football player that you're going to get as a seventh round pick that late in the draft, I think it's worth the gamble. So, you know, I think that was the first thing headline wise that really stood out to me was the defensive back room and you know, just the fact that they did go corner early for the first time in a long time. You know, obviously 2015, I believe it was the Marcus Peters first round selection, but just in Brett Veach's run as general manager, you know, this was the first time that they drafted a corner before the sixth round, technically, as far as what they were listed as. Legarius Sneed a couple years ago was a fourth round pick, but he wasn't necessarily thought of as a true corner at the time. He was safety corner hybrid, played safety a lot more in his last season at Louisiana Tech. So just from a true cornerback perspective, it's exciting to see that. And, you know, just getting that many defensive backs, I know this pass rush and defensive end position, there's still a lot of questions that come with that, but I think personally, I've been a guy that's always been touting for, you know, Kansas City especially, but for other teams, I do kind of enjoy teams that are not afraid to continue to stockpile at the defensive back room and in the secondary. I think in today's pass happy NFL, when you're in sub packages a lot more, in dime package a lot more, getting a lot more speed on the field, I think that's a lot more important than necessarily always stacking up the pass rush room. I mean, you can never have enough pass rushers, but I think the expectations and I think just the immediate return on investment is usually a lot more realistic early on, I think, for defensive backs like this. And I think you just look at what Steve Spagnuolo's typically gone after in his defenses, guys that can play physical, have the length. I mean, most of these guys have that in this defensive back room. Ironically, the one that doesn't really have the length as far as what you're going to be checking the boxes on is Trent McDuffie, first-round pick. But he plays physical enough, and I think he plays you know, I think aggressive enough to where that's not really going to be an issue. I think if you look at Trent McDuffie's tape, the length really has not ever been a question in terms of his actual results and production. So that is just, you know, I think a number that you're not going to have checked on your box compared to these other defensive back picks by the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, I think being able to move him around the defensive formation a little bit, the way in which he plays with that attitude coming out of Washington, that's something that I think can definitely be mitigated enough to a degree for Trent McDuffie. But I think just in total, right, I mean, going now from the defensive backs to just the defensive picks in general, that's another headline I think that you got to look at for this Kansas City Chiefs draft with immediate reaction looking back on it. I mean, last year we kind of saw Brett Veach rebuild the offensive line. This year, rebuilding the defense through the draft. And, you know, this has been a unit that I think is definitely – shown some improvements here and there the last couple seasons. I mean, arguably last year when the Chiefs were on their winning streak mid to late part of the season, the defense actually was the better part of the team there for a good part of that winning streak. So Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, despite not always having elite players on his defense or above average guys in certain spots, he's been able to get a lot out of certain players in this defense the last couple years. So I think it is refreshing to see them kind of go all in with this defense. And you know, I think they were able to get a lot more. I mean, we talked about the value already, but I think you look at the draft this year compared to maybe some other defensive picks that Brett Veach and his staff have made the last few years, this is just a draft I think you look at a lot more guys are polished, a lot more guys are willing, I think, to take on larger roles and wear different hats. And I think this year's crop of defensive picks overall, I think just you look at their tape and you look at what they kind of, you know, mix and gel with to create together from just this group. I think you look at a lot more guys from this group being able to kind of start right away, produce and make an immediate impact right away for this defense. So I think that's refreshing to see. And it's just, we talk about him building, rebuilding the offensive line last year and then this year rebuilding the defense. I think that's something that's always kind of stood out from Brett Veach in the time that he's been general manager, is he's going to overcorrect or at least go hard and aggressive after, you know, what he believes held the team back the most last season. And obviously, I don't think the defense was the sole reason that cost the Chiefs season last year and why they didn't reach the Super Bowl for a third straight season. But I think you look at just the attitude and the play style that they brought in this year on the defensive side of the ball in this draft. I mean, let's be honest, there was a lot of times last year where, you know, guys in the past were a lot more aggressive than they were last season. I mean, that you could see last season certain games, defensive players just did not have maybe the same pride that they once did, or you know, they didn't want the smoke, you know, that they had, you know, looked for in the past. That was something that was thrown around last season, and you could see that. I mean, this was a guy that, or a team that just had a defense last year at times, especially here and there in the playoffs, you know, when you're facing these great young quarterbacks in Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. Just didn't have that same drive or passion it looked like they used to in certain spots last year. And I think you look at what Brett Veach was able to bring in, a lot of guys that are physical, tough, and just commanding to go against. I think just being able to rebuild the defense like he did this year in this draft, that's another headline that definitely stands out. I think another headline that stands out for me, you know, the final one that I'll kind of talk about here before we kind of start going player by player in the outlooks for them, Sky Moore. I mean, I think you look at what he is as a wide receiver. I don't think there's a better fit that he could have received as far as team player fit in this draft, because we know in the draft, I mean, fit and situation and scheme matters so much for players. But I think for that wide receiver position, you know, especially right now where we've seen a lot of rookie wide receivers or young wide receivers come into the league and produce pretty well right away with heavy production, I don't think there's a better team that could have utilized Sky more than the Kansas City Chiefs. Certainly there were probably a couple others that work in the same light, but I think you talk about just what the Kansas City Chiefs already brought in this offseason at wide receiver, a little bit bigger bodied guys, more physical guys in Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, guys that still are athletic enough and elusive enough after the catch in their own right. But I think you look at somebody in a Sky Moore that, you know, now after trading away Tyreek Hill, he's not going to replace Tyreek Hill per se with the same play style, but I think you look at his size for a little bit shorter receiver, still pretty dense, has long arms, heavy hands. I think even Brett Veach or Andy Reid mentioned after drafting him in an interview that he had actually some of the biggest hands at the combine of wide receivers this year. So despite that little bit shorter height that he has, I mean, plays way bigger than that, and that's something Brett Veach mentioned in the Friday press conference after drafting Sky Moore. So there's just so much that he can do, and for a guy that's only played wide receiver for three seasons, you know, he was a former quarterback and running back in high school, so he, you know, changes positions at Western Michigan, becomes a wide receiver, and, you know, just I think his kind of mentality of, you know, not really having any fear of running, you know, any route to any area of the field for the size that he plays at, you know, number-wise, that doesn't really seem to limit him. And a lot of people, I think, when you look at a guy like Sky Moore, you're going to think of a slot-only type of guy, but he can definitely win from the outside at Western Michigan. I mean, he was, I think, of just a very attack type of receiver that, you know, is able to create so many big plays in a short span. So I think that was another headline that I think really stood out to me, was there was probably no better player team fit in my mind, or better team fit that Sky Moore could have found for himself than possibly the Kansas City Chiefs, given what they've already added at wide receiver, I think, this year, where they're at now in the post Tyreek Hill kind of phase of things at the position. And of course, I think just with the quarterback head coach dynamic that's there, the chances and the willingness that they have to do things that other teams, other offenses, and other coaches are not going to be willing to do. I think a playmaker and just very multifaceted type of skill set that Sky Moore has, I don't think there's a better landing spot that he could have had than the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and for me personally, he was out of the consensus top four wide receivers, or after the consensus top four wide receivers of Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jameson Williams. I mean, this was probably my favorite receiver in the draft. So for him to go to Kansas City, not just the landing spot, but I think just the play style and the potential that he has, both immediate impact and long-term future, I think are really, really exciting for an offense that is undergoing a lot of changes around Patrick Mahomes as they enter kind of the second wave here of his career. So going pick by pick here, I did write an immediate reaction article that came out Friday about the two first round picks from Thursday night. So if you guys missed that, go check it out. I kind of list the top traits, maybe a little bit of limitations to keep in mind as well about both Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. Also, you know, kind of asking the question, what does their immediate impact kind of look like on this Kansas City team? But I'll talk a little bit about these guys. If you guys missed the article, just in case, I'll talk a little bit about those two. Trent McDuffie, I mean, I already kind of talked about how much I like to see Kansas City finally go corner early and really address the secondary a lot more than they have in the past. I talked about just being able to build a deeper secondary. So I was just excited to see the Chiefs go up for a corner, trade up 8 spots to get him. But you look, I think, at the top traits of Trent McDuffie, and we talked about it a little bit already on this episode, but he's a guy that doesn't have the length, doesn't have the size, but I think the way in which he plays, he makes up for that in a big way. He plays physical, plays aggressive, but under control. And I think you look at just his athletic profile to start with, that hasn't been something that has always been a focal point of some of the more recent Chiefs corners. I mean, we saw Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, last couple years take great steps in improving year after year. But one area where they were always kind of a little bit limited compared to some of the best wide receivers in the league that they were attempting to cover was the athletic profile. And I think you look at just that side of things for Trent McDuffie as part of his top traits. He has long speed, I think, to be able to run deep down the field with any receiver in this league. Swift change of direction skills, and I think you just look at his tape, his mirroring ability and coverage, being able to kind of flip those hips on a dime. That's something that I think you look as a big part of being a successful cornerback in this league, especially as a younger corner on the outside if you play him there. And Trent McDuffie certainly has that in his hips. And I think just his foot fire and foot speed, that's something that I'm not necessarily as high on as other people when it comes to draft prospects entering the league is, you know, do they take, you know, kind of these more rapid fire steps, shorter steps, because I am somebody that kind of looks at these more longer physical corners and maybe covet them a little bit higher than some of these more, you know, just smooth savvy guys. But I think that that is something that is so big for a defense like Steve Spagnuolo's, where you have that rapid fire foot speed, those quick steps. For somebody like Trent McDuffie, I think you're going to be able to continue to kind of play those multiple roles when the Chiefs are kind of this aggressive style defense. They play a lot of single high, a lot of man coverage. And when they do play zone, you know, it's all about kind of these split zones. So even on the outside for Trent McDuffie, That's going to be a thing that he can kind of lean on is that foot fire, that foot speed, those quick steps. But you look at, I think, just his instincts. That's probably my top trait for him. You know, just his understanding of route concepts. Very, very vast in terms of what he understands and what he sees. So a guy that not very phased by a lot of double moves or fakes either. I think that part of his instincts is big for a Kansas City team that will play a lot of man coverage. So I just think it's going to be really fun to see him kind of, you know, get to go into a role now that I think is pretty much free to use him in any way that you want. Versatility is something that you should not, I think, discount with this guy. I think he can play some slot. And I think when you already got another corner in the room like Legarius Sneed, who's played both inside and outside on the defensive formation, it's something that I think is going to be really nice to see mixed in there with Sneed, is him and McDuffie kind of having these similar play styles, but a little bit just different in terms of the size component. Some top traits to look at for George Karlaftis, again, that I kind of wrote about in that article from Friday. I mean, this is a guy that is not an elite bender and is not always going to be a guy that you can count on to be athletic. But man, this guy's motor runs hot all the time. A guy that's just relentless. And I think that's something you heard a lot about after this pick was made by the Kansas City Chiefs, is this guy just doesn't stop. And he's a dense, you know, defensive lineman that I think, you know, is going to still kind of be used mostly as a defensive end early on for Kansas City. But I don't think it's impossible to think that he can move around the line of scrimmage a little bit, maybe reduce down inside. And I don't want to get that confused to he cannot play on the edge at all. When I say that, I think he's gifted right now to be able to overpower so many offensive linemen, whether it's interior or offensive tackles. The heavy hands and power that he has at the point of attack, and just I think that relentless motor. I mean, you can combine that to just being such a physically demanding player up front. And for a guy that has not played much football, if you guys don't know his story, grew up in Greece, moved to the United States in the eighth grade. And that's kind of when he started playing football. So he really has not played a ton of football despite, you know, really as a freshman in 2019 at Purdue, having an immediate impact and being able to kind of break out right away for the Boilermakers. I mean, this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of football played under his belt. So I think a lot of people expect that he does still have a lot of his best football left ahead of him, and a lot more of his ceiling is still yet to be reached. But I think you just look at his background and that story. You know, in Greece, he was on the national water polo team, played a lot of basketball, I believe, as well. So this is a guy that I'm really excited to kind of write about that later this week, hopefully, on how that multi-sport background outside of football is really going to translate to him being a pass rusher and a physical defensive lineman in the NFL. So yeah, it's a guy that I think you look at Steve Spagnuolo, it's a player that you know, definitely fills the mold of players that he's gone after lately. These heavy hands, these powerful guys. The length is a little bit more modest, not necessarily as long of a player as some other players that Kansas City has had with Steve Spagnuolo, but he's still able to separate, I think, enough to where you can rely on him as even a run defender on the outside quite a bit. So I think you look at the power, you look at the just the motor that he has, a relentless player, and even for not playing a ton of football yet for the most part, still a pretty smart player that I think you can rely on to still be a run defender, not just you know, looking at the expectation solely as a pass rusher. So George Karlaftis, I mean, this is a guy that I think made a lot of sense for Kansas City in terms of just what he offers right away. May still be a little bit raw to a degree, but I think you look at just what this team has typically gone after from the pass rush and the defensive line position, and really where they've had a lot of success with these powerful guys, makes a lot of sense. Going player by player down the road here, we'll skip ahead to Leo Chenault. I want to talk about him real quick first before we go to Sky Moore, who we already touched on actually briefly already. But Leo Chenault, linebacker that Wisconsin, a really interesting kind of style of play where very good at working downhill, moved around the linebacker formation a little bit to where he kind of jumped down toward the line of scrimmage even a little bit on the edge of the defense. So this is a guy that, man, he covers a lot of ground quickly, physical player, another player that relies on instincts and being able to kind of be one step ahead of the offense. So I think that's something that from a style standpoint, I think makes a lot of sense compared to what they already have in Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. And you talk about now looking at this linebacker room, you know, no more Anthony Hitchens. Damian Wilson was, of course, there a couple years beforehand. It's really interesting to see how quickly they've transformed this linebacker room, a position that wasn't always stout for Kansas City. It's quickly looking a lot more exciting with these younger guys. And I think with Willie Gay and even Brett Veach mentioned it, getting a guy like Leo Chenault will kind of allow this linebacker room to get back to playing their more natural spots. I mean, Nick Bolton last year wasn't always the Mike linebacker with Anthony Hitchens still in the fold. A guy that is kind of the leader of that second level will go kind of get the full keys to that spot on the defense. And then you look at Leo Chenault kind of being able to be a Sam linebacker. Veach talked about him having backup Mike linebacker responsibilities, and it makes a lot of sense. Again, just as a downhill threat, a physical player that just is really technically sound for a guy that didn't necessarily get a lot of consistent playing time early on during his Wisconsin career and really came on late. You know, I think he's kind of going to be able to bring that similar style, what he played basically late at Wisconsin. I think you see kind of an early transition and a quick transition to the NFL level where there's not a lot of, you know, stuff you have to really work on technically. I think it's just knowing the limitations with him. Not always going to be a guy that can consistently cover, but I think being able to just rely on him as a kind of imposing physical threat, that makes a lot of sense. And even with Willie Gay now getting back to playing a little bit more of the will linebacker role on the weak side, and relying on his kind of, you know, range and being able to play in space a lot more often, makes a lot of sense. So I think Leo Chenal is a linebacker that I'm surprised lasted that long. I thought he would have been taken a little bit earlier on day two, but I think it just complements those other two linebackers really well, and especially Nick Bolton. I mean, him and Chenal, I mean, that's two hammers there now that the Chiefs have on the second level of the defense. But going to Sky Moore, we kind of touched on it a little bit already. He hasn't played a lot of wide receiver in his football career, but man, I think you look at what he already understands about the position, and he even said, I think somewhere, I can't remember where it was after he got drafted, if it was an interview with the Chiefs media or somewhere else, but he kind of said just how simple of a game it is for him, you know, being a former running back, with the ball in his hands, knowing what he has to do to get around guys and go and score. And I think you just see his Western Michigan tape. One thing that stood out, obviously, with route running to me was his top trait. He's just simply always open, and I think it's just the fearlessness that he has as a wide receiver. Again, not being the biggest guy, but very dense, very long arms, big hands as a pass catcher, can kind of make any catch. The ball skills are more, I think, elite than his hands in terms of just, I think, being able to make those difficult catches, whereas the hand technique could always maybe use a little bit more polish. But I think for Sky Moore, I mean, this is a guy that, again, consistently an explosive play threat, a guy that is just seemingly always open. And again, we talked about just his fit in Kansas City already with Andy Reid, but I don't think there's any limitation to how I think the Chiefs could use him right away. In terms of just an immediate impact, I think just being able to use him both slot and outside, there's a lot of, you know, things I think the last couple of years that the Chiefs have kind of altered to these horizontal concepts in the passing game. We've seen a lot more of that even just last year. And Sky Moore's perfect for that, being able to work over the middle of the field, being able to make these difficult catches in traffic a lot more consistently than, say, a lot of these other wide receivers in this draft class. So, man, I like I said, Sky Moore was my favorite receiver after the consensus top four in this class. So for me, man, it's I'm probably my favorite pick of all these guys. I mean, there's a lot of these I like. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of picks you can really complain about here for Kansas City. But just in terms of pure player and team match, by far my favorite pick of the entire draft this weekend. So really excited to see how Sky Moore does. And you know, for a team that losing Tyreek Hill, you know, again, not going to replace him necessarily with the exact play style, the you know, exact same danger that he brought to defenses. But you talk about a player in Sky Moore, I think has so many ways in which you can use him against defenses. Like I said earlier, multifaceted player for a guy that is still, you know, not very experienced per se at playing the wide receiver position. We jumped around the board a little bit going pick by pick. I'm going to kind of group the rest of the defensive backs one by one now. And it's really just, I think, more so grouping them together just because I don't know exactly the clear role that you have for some of these guys. I think it's evident that Josh Williams, the Fayetteville State corner, is going to kind of be, I would say, used primarily as an outside cornerback in this defense, especially given his size and athleticism component, height, weight, speed guy, meaning that he's kind of checks the boxes as far as the bigger percentiles in terms of height and weight at the position, but also has the speed and athleticism to still rely on that and not necessarily always having to play physical. He can kind of play this this smoother game and I think be able to kind of rely on, you know, just instincts and reactive quickness. That's something that, again, stands out with a lot of these guys on defense in this draft class. But I think Josh Williams Certainly relying on that coming out of a smaller school in Fayetteville State. But I think in terms of the other guys, like how do you use them? That's still going to be a big question moving forward. Brian Cook out of Cincinnati, a guy that moved around the defensive formation a lot at Cincinnati. They kind of played him, you know, in the slot. They played him over the top on the roof a little bit as well. They brought him down in the box once in a while to play these split zones. So I could see him playing a similar role like that. And honestly, I think my mind goes to in terms of who he may be replacing in this Chiefs defense. And I kind of think of Daniel Sorensen, of course, not always the greatest results with Daniel Sorensen, but I think you look at when he did have his best moments and big moments the last couple years, you know, I think it was evident he was a lot more suited for a Steve Spagnuolo defense than he was a Bob Sutton defense during the early part of his Chiefs tenure. But I kind of look at the same usage a little bit where you can kind of use him if you want in that buck linebacker role in the box, use him in the slot closer to the line of scrimmage, try to have him play against these more physical wide receivers. And obviously the size component is a little bit more, I guess, dependable for Brian Cook than it is a Daniel Sorensen. But I think just the usage, I mean, if that is how they kind of use him, I would not be surprised. It's just, I think, seeing how he mixes in with the newly signed Justin Reed and then, of course, Juan Thornhill and then all these other defensive backs that they brought in, that's my only, I guess, question or, you know, intriguing spot that I'm kind of looking forward to for Brian Cook is just his usage. Man, he's physical. He's a tackler. Probably one of the best tackling safeties in the game. I mean, you look at him, I think, sometimes on tape and get him confused with other linebackers on that Cincinnati defense just because he's so dense, he's so long. But a guy that can still cover and make a lot of plays on the football. So really exciting to see how he's going to translate in this Chiefs defense. You know, maybe next couple years down the line, we'll get a more clear role for him. But I think early on, immediate impact anyway. Brian Cook's definitely a guy that overall I think can wear a lot of hats in this defense. And then you look at the other couple of day three defensive back picks. Like I said, Jalen Watson, Washington State, another guy similar to Josh Williams, kind of still a more, you know, leaner, slender build, or at least, you know, kind of more of these lankier builds at the defensive back position, but still brings a lot of size and a lot of height to the defensive back room. Again, questions of where exactly he'll play. And this wasn't just with Kansas City. I mean, the entire draft community kind of going in wasn't sure what this guy was going to be in the NFL, corner or safety. So maybe he's able to move around the defensive formation a little bit as well. I actually think he'll be able to stick at corner if they wanted him to. But Jalen Watson, a guy that I kind of think is just really exciting in terms of just being able to kind of play you know, these different roles as well. And I think just has comfort in both man and zone coverage, where you look at some defensive backs always coming into the league, they may be more comfortable in one coverage over the other by a significant margin. Well, Jalen Watson, I think, is a guy that, again, very reliable, technically sound, like some of these other defensive picks for the Kansas City Chiefs. Not always going to blow you away and jump off the screen, but I think there's a lot of times where you just look at Kansas City secondary here and there the last couple years, where they busted and where they broke in certain plays to give up explosive gains against offenses. There's a lot of guys, especially the defensive backs that they drafted this weekend, where you know that they're going to be in the right spot all the time. They're not going to be overly aggressive, and they're just simply not going to do things that gets you beat consistently by big plays. I mean, it's going to take good throws. It's going to take, you know, kind of smarts in your route running as an opposing wide receiver to really throw them off balance and throw them off course. So I think that's something that stands out a lot with a guy like Jalen Watson. Wherever you play him, he's going to kind of be another one of these guys that's in the right spot every time. Very, I think, smart player, and a guy that is I think, growing in terms of his nose for the football and being able to make plays on the football in terms of ball production. But yeah, last defensive back, kind of grouping them together here. Of course, they go with Nazi Johnson from Marshall, their final pick of the draft. This is a guy that when I briefly look at him, didn't get to watch him a lot in the pre-draft process, but looking after the draft pick here, Some of the plays he was able to make on the football, I think he's just one of those guys that does a good job at the safety position of just being able to stay on top of routes and being able to still trigger, whether it's downhill or laterally, very quickly and aggressively. So violent kind of player that doesn't always have those chances come to him very easily in terms of being able to throw out that aggression. So it's a guy that, again, probably especially compared to some of these other defensive backs they drafted, maybe a little bit more of a challenge for him to make the team. But I think just in terms of different ways that you can use him, I think another that guy that has some safety corner versatility to his game, obviously a guy that could probably work hard enough on special teams and carve out a role there as well. So, I mean, a lot of these defensive backs, I think the thing that stands out, instincts, size, physicality, being able to use them in multiple roles. I think that's what stands out for a lot of these defensive backs that they drafted here, and just being technically sound and knowing that they're going to be safe, they're going to be under control while still being physical and aggressive. That's a nice component to have in the defensive back room as you continue to kind of rebuild this defense. Is, you know, you're going to have a lot of these guys that are just in the right position all the time. They're not getting beat like we've seen, you know, these past couple of years, Kansas City defenders, guys like Daniel Sorensen and other guys like that, guys these last couple of years where there's just times, you know, they're going to kind of be stuck and they're going to be able to kind of give up a lot of leaky plays. I don't think you really get concerned in terms of, I think, just the instinctual part and the ability to read the opposing offense part of things with a lot of these defensive backs. Last couple players to talk about here one by one, Darian Kennard, out of Kentucky, man. This is a player, I think, for the offensive line. It's easy to see why the Kansas City Chiefs drafted him here. They actually traded up 13 spots in the fifth round to go get him. A guy that a lot of people had rated as maybe a day two pick. I am admittedly a little bit lower on him compared to other people, but I think you look at where he wins and the stuff you can bet on right away, it's easy to see why Kansas City wanted him compared to what they already have on this offensive line in terms of Trey Smith and now Orlando Brown Jr., these physical, nasty guys. I mean, that's something that the temperament, you're not going to have to ask him to increase that and turn it up a notch. So I think you look at just his mentality. I mean, he's strictly all business. His background is really interesting. If you guys did not see it, there was a video out there. I think I retweeted it on my account. So if you go on my Twitter, you can find it. But a guy that kind of grew up with a single mother, you know, talking about him and his mom always having each other's backs. I mean, they you know, I think had a lot of times where, you know, they just had to fight through a lot of tough stuff off the field. And he even talked in the video about, you know, kind of working through anger issues and being able to kind of play under control, but present that on the football field as a blocker. So a guy that's strictly all business. I mean, you can tell big chip on his shoulder here that he dropped to the fifth round. And it's easy to see why. I think you look at the rest of the offensive line the Chiefs have already built. I mean, the fact they're already a lot more physical, a lot more nasty up front. Just in what they rebuilt last year, and Darian Kennard will be able to kind of compete for that right tackle spot, hopefully right away. That's kind of the immediate impact that you're looking at for him. He does have some guard flexibility in terms of how he could be used, but obviously what you already got on the interior of this offensive line, you won't really have that guard spot. So be able to compete at right tackle with Lucas Niang and Andrew Wiley. That's something to look forward to right away as a rookie for Darian Kennard, but does have some technical stuff still to clean up in terms of pass blocking, more so I think just with his footwork and balance. His hand technique I don't think is quite as big of an issue, but there is some technical stuff still to clean up with Darian Kennard, but at least those are issues that are certainly fixable with coaching. And you look at just his temperament and his way he goes about the game with his nastiness and being able to control it, but unleash it pretty demandingly. That's something that I think you got to love. As a fifth round pick, I mean, that late in the draft, might as well take that gamble and that swing. And the final pick to talk about here, running back Isaiah Pacheco from Rutgers. Late round pick here that I necessarily didn't know quite as well as some other people, but kind of watching some of his game after this draft pick and hearing kind of what he was able to do at the NFL Combine, you know, one of the fastest 40 times this year for running backs. I mean, speed is the name of his game, and last year we saw how that kind of change of pace in the playoffs really worked out in the Kansas City advantage when you brought in a guy like Jerick McKinnon. Well, you know, obviously already having Clyde Edwards-Helaire and new free agent addition Ronald Jones. I mean, those are guys that aren't always going to be able to rely on the speed consistently. So you get a guy in there like Isaiah Pacheco, who a lot of people believe will maybe even make an impact as a rookie. It's hard to really project running backs in this offense from time to time. But I think you look at where he wins in between the tackles, being able to kind of, you know, run hard, run with drive, break a lot of tackles, and really use that speed, that long speed. I mean, that's something that I think is definitely, in terms of traits and skill sets, something I think in terms of if you wanted to see the Chiefs go get a running back, that's the exact, I think, kind of a profile that you would be looking for. So really fun to see a guy like that added to the mix. It's been fun to kind of read his story and his background a little bit for a guy I didn't necessarily know quite as much as some of these other running backs in this draft. So speed will be the name of the game for him, but the drive and determination he has as a runner too should not be discounted. So that's kind of it, wrapping up our immediate reactions, looking at immediate impact possibly for these guys year one in the Chiefs room. I mean, all the guys are not necessarily going to get the same opportunities as others in this draft class right away, but I think the realistic expectations that are there gets you excited as a Chiefs fan, and I think for Kansas City fans out there, I think a lot of people would agree that you know, for first draft in a long time where they had this many picks, I think they definitely excited a lot of people, and I think there's not a lot that you can really complain about. Again, it's on paper. We got to see how this translates in the future and see how these picks really take off. But I think in terms of just having 10 draft picks that they actually made, I mean, there's just realistically, I think 5 to 7 guys in this draft class that you can kind of look at as having an immediate impact on this team and getting a pretty good return on your investment for it. So a lot to like from this draft class. We'll have a lot more kind of individually player by player this week, kind of looking at some of these stories and some of these top traits of these guys. So be on the lookout for those articles this week as well. Going to be getting, I believe, one out on Sky Moore first. So the wide receiver pick will be kind of the first one to look forward to, but I will be touching on all these draft picks a little bit deeper throughout this week. So be on the lookout for that. Should have another podcast episode later this week. So be on the lookout for that as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Also follow at Full Press NFL and at @FP_coverage for more just general NFL news and notes as we kind of get away from the draft and continue to kind of get closer now to the end of the offseason. We got the NFL schedule release coming up next week on May 12th. So that was another thing for the Chiefs. One of their games has already been revealed at the draft over the weekend. They kind of announced the first Thursday night football game that would be on Amazon Prime. The Chiefs will host the LA Chargers in week 2 of the season for their home opener. I believe it's their home opener on Thursday night football. So with that, once the full schedule gets released, I think we'll know. The Chiefs will probably be on the road week 1, it sounds like, before hosting the Chargers on a Thursday night for their home opener in week 2 for their 2022 season. But yeah, we got that coming up. Like I said, I'll have a lot more articles out this week looking more at these draft picks. Really excited that the draft is in the books. I love the draft every year, but now to finally have, you know, these draft selections in the book and obviously see what the complete haul was for Kansas City. Just really exciting to kind of go into this next phase here. Of course, follow myself on Twitter at @BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Follow Full Press Coverage as well on YouTube or Facebook. And also just be able to stay tuned for all the latest this week. A lot of exciting stuff on the way in terms of articles and content. So with that, make it a good Monday. Be on the lookout for more FPC Chiefs coverage throughout this week. And we will see you guys next time.